One. I don't know if you ever experience meeting someone for the first time, only to discover that they knew you. Even when they introduced themselves, you still didn't know who they were. I know I had that experience several times. And having the feeling of embarrassment since they knew me and I didn't know them. This was especially true when they acted like they knew me for all my life. As it turns out, it was always with me that they knew me through my parents or a longtime friend. They seemed to have a relationship with me, although we never met face to face. This is establishing a relationship through a relationship with the third party, or knowing someone through that third party. In some ways, we may be involved with such a tactic more than we may think. In establishing a new relationship with someone, we just may mention the name of a mutual friend. This can be especially true when we may want something. This is called name dropping. We use the name of a third party to gain entry into a relationship or gain a privileged position or even to look good to someone else. I have seen this time and time again when fans of a particular person or thing get together. It becomes a one-upmanship game, name-dropping. This brings us to our gospel lesson. When Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples, they were to be like Jesus. Their mission was to be the same as if they were Jesus personified. People should have been able to not only see the disciple, but also see Jesus in them. They would not have to gain attention by name dropping, nor would they have to explain their relationship with Jesus, for people would know they were closely associated with him by their acts and their message. In many ways, they were like a nation's ambassador. The most effective of an ambassador is when he or she is a living example of that nation they represent while in a foreign soil. In turn, a foreigner looks to the ambassador to understand the nation which he and she represents. They should be able to tell a lot about the nation in the very presence of its ambassador. Jesus was like an ambassador in that he said, "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." To be an ambassador, Jesus starts here, though. It is through Jesus that we know God. "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." It is with this understanding that to know Jesus, we must look to those who witnessed his life and teachings. The 12 were the chosen few to witness all that Jesus lived and taught. This is why Jesus commissioned his disciples to be his specially trained ambassadors to those who Jesus did not have time to reach. Such a commission not only demanded a close relationship with Jesus, but the conviction of believing in him. In this way, people would not only saw the disciple, but would see Jesus in the disciple. It demanded that the disciples place their egos aside so that Jesus was seen as central to their lives. They were to live their commitment, no matter the consequences they may have to face. The result was that it is through the disciples and later apostles that Jesus would become known. Literally, we see and know Jesus through them, as we know God through Jesus. The commission from Jesus does not stop with the disciples. He said, whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of the righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. In other words, there are those who have gained an understanding of God's message of love through the disciples. There are those who continue to witness by being ambassadors during their lifetime. And then through them, Jesus communicated and then passed on to the future generations. You see, God's presence empowers them through the Holy Spirit to be this witness and to proclaim the good news. It is also through them that we would see Jesus. Therefore, we know Jesus through the apostles, through those who learned through the apostles and became teachers and witnesses of Jesus' life and message throughout the many years. Then it comes down to you and me. Right down to you and me, who are called to be his ambassadors in our everyday lives. He said, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. You see, you and I are the recipients of this lineage of good news, which allows us to know God's message of love through Jesus. We are not only the recipients of a cup of cold water from all the saints of the past, giving us hope and life, but we are the ones to give the cup of water today to others. We are commissioned. We are commissioned to give the water of life to this troubled nation and the world in which we live. It is during times of turmoil in which divisiveness and hate seem to be the goal of many that we are needed to constantly and in every way possible to be that ambassador of Jesus. This is by living the example of Jesus' life, the example of God's love. You know, each new day has brought us more and more examples of a society in distress. But each new day also brings with it the opportunity to be that shining example of hope, peace, and love. Sharing in this life, and especially as the body of Christ, we must work together. Regardless of any social or political affiliation, in order to overcome the challenges that we face as citizens and as Christians. Our strength is in the fact that we all have been given differing gifts and talents. When these gifts and talents are encouraged and utilized in a harmonious and coordinated way, we become a powerful influence to help bring about necessary changes. We, the body of Christ, can be that living example that although we came from different backgrounds, different races, different formal education and economic circumstances, we can utilize these experiences together in order to find the wisdom to witness in a more meaningful way. Our goal must be as being one in Christ to reach the reality of righteousness. My mind in writing this immediately turned to Paul and his message to the Corinthians. And this message becomes so important, not only to us as a church, but us as a society and nation. Just listen carefully. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Let me read that again. The members of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe them with honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas the more respectable members do not need this. He then continues, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with him. As I said, these words of Paul not only apply to the body of Christ, to us in the church, but to the society in which we live. It is this message, as passed down through the lineage of witnesses and ambassadors of Jesus, must find life in today's world. As Jesus' ambassadors, we must live and proclaim this loud and clear. We can no longer keep silent, for not only the future of our nation and world are at stake, but our commission to be followers and ambassadors of Christ are being tested. Through God's presence within us, we have the power. We have the power to be that continuing lineage of saints who have stood strong in being the living example of God's love throughout history. Think of this. Just think of this. Tomorrow's generation depends on you, and it depends on me. It depends on us. Amen.